KFYO 709, Tom Collins, Laura Mack, Lubbock's First News, Monday morning. Tibor Nyes Jr., Ambassador and Vice Provost of International Affairs at Texas Tech University. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Always a pleasure to be here with you folks.
All right. I was sitting there off mic saying, hey, you know, why don't we just quit flying people in here? Why don't we just close everything down for 21 days? And you said, well, you can't do that.
No, because you would have to close literally everything down. Mm-hmm. It's not like someone gets on the plane in Monrovia or Freetown or Conakry and gets off a plane in New York. It's airline connections that are connected everywhere, Europe, Asia. You can fly from West Africa to East Africa to Europe to Asia to North America and then get on another plane. I think the case that came into Dallas came through Europe, I believe. So it's not practical to just say that we're going to close off, you know, every airport in the United States to every flight coming from overseas.
Right.
It's not ever going to happen.
Yeah, and reportedly, this man had no symptoms of the disease when he boarded that plane.
Right, exactly. It's just like the case that went into Nigeria. It was that Liberian person that flew into Lagos, and they developed the symptoms on board the aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the point I make is we have to address this pandemic at its source. You can't just sit back and wait for clusters to arrive from, you know, week to week or day to day, whether they show up in Dallas or Houston or New York or Pittsburgh or wherever. And then all of a sudden you scramble and you try to figure out every single contact and chase them down. At the end of the day, the world, and I mean, you know, globally, is going to have to get their act together and get in there and wipe it out at its source. Otherwise, it's going to keep bothering us, and the numbers are going to keep increasing until, you know, you talk about a huge, huge scale. What was the World Health Organization estimate? 500,000 to a million by January 1st.
Mm. It's terrible.
Mm. Okay.
I thought it was interesting over the weekend. I didn't even realize that Texas had a state law about quarantine. I didn't know that. And this family these people that are being quarantined in Dallas apparently could not be found for a few hours, which is like breaking state law, because in Texas, if you are told that you're under quarantine, you're under quarantine. And so I thought that was interesting that they didn't know where they were for a while.
Well, what I don't get in this whole situation is they're showing on national news broadcast these Red Cross volunteers, you know, this guy shows up wearing a Troop 175 t-shirt and a ball cap, you know, delivering stuff. You know, next thing you know, today, you're seeing on the news these guys that are wearing their hazmat suits, buttoned up tight as a drum.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're standing outside the apartment in the exact same place Mr. Troop 175 was. You know,
Well, there's so much inconsistency. I mean, for me, it was just incredible that someone shows up at any medical facility, not just in the United States, but in the world, to say that, gee, I'm coming from Liberia, and I'm running a fever, and I'm nauseous.
And they
and you can't blame
them
that.
Home.
Yeah, you can't blame that on a computer or this or that.
Mm-mm.
I mean, it doesn't take just even a medical professional, anyone hearing that.
Well, this Texas Health Presbyterian thing, when it first came out, they said that, you know, that there was a nurse involved. And then now all of a sudden it's a computer glitch.
That person had to speak to a human being at some point, you know, a professional,
right.
Whether it's an admission clerk, whether it's a nurse, whether it's a triage doctor. But to have those symptoms or just the first word out of your mouth is, I'm coming from Liberia or I'm coming from West Africa.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes.
Red flag.
Exactly.
You know what should have happened? As soon as that guy said something, it should have been, security! Security!
Yeah, would you like to be the security guard to escort him?
Right.
You know, no, there has to be a protocol in place because, like I said, as long as this is burning out there, cases are going to come to the United States. They will come to Europe. You know, they will come to Asia. And we have to get on top of it. The country where my son just went off on his next assignment last week, Uganda has a case of Marburg. Now, Marburg is just like Ebola. It's a different variety. Hmm. The Ugandans know how to deal with it. They dealt with it a couple of years ago, so I'm not that worried about him. But it's the case is West Africa. Of all the world, it is the worst place to have an endemic.
Hmm.
Because of the countries involved, the infrastructure involved, the psychology of the population involved. It is just, it's horrendous.
Mm.
So should other countries come in and just like take over?
Yeah.
I mean, is that what you think
needs to happen? It's time for a real international effort. You know, you can say it's all well and nice to say that there's Liberian sovereignty, Sierra Leonean sovereignty. The governments are incapable. They cannot deal with it. You need to have somebody that can deal with it, lead an international effort.
Aren't you going to have a problem, though, if I come into your house and say, yo, Tibor, you don't know what you're doing, so we'll take it from here?
Well, this is where the United Nations can actually accomplish something.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you remember, you know, decades ago there were these things called UN trust territories. And basically the premise was this territory cannot govern itself, so another country will govern it until they're ready and it will turn them over. Southwest Africa was one which became Namibia. But this is where the United Nations acting together, I cannot see even the Russians wanting to veto this, would say there's an international emergency, it will affect the whole world. So we are going to temporarily suspend the sovereignty of these countries and turn over trusteeship, you know, to somebody else.
Why has that not been done up to this point?
Political correctness. Global political correctness, I hate to say this.
Hmm.
Because sovereignty is so sacrosanct, you know, now that... And also, I hate to say this as well, no one wants to step forward. Nobody wants to be in charge of this effort. So you have this hodgepodge global medical system of these poor NGOs and missionary doctors trying to work under the authority of the Liberian, the Sierra Leonean, and Guinean governments.
Mm.
In conversation with Ambassador Tibor Nyes Jr. at 7:16, we'll be back. Back to the conversation with Ambassador Tibor Nyes Jr. He's Vice Provost of International Affairs at Texas Tech University and all-around nice guy. Welcome back to the program. We were talking off mic just a minute ago. And, you know, in this day and age, 21st century, we are in the 21st century, right?
Allegedly.
Last time we looked.
But it's morning.
You know, we can send a man to the moon. We can do all these different things. Why can't we come up with some sort of inoculation for this Ebola thing?
I don't think it's been given the massive effort because of the nature of the illness. I mean, look at some of these tropical illnesses like malaria. You know, there's not really been a successful vaccine for malaria because, and I hate to put it this way, those people who suffer from it are basically very, very poor.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. There's no money in it.
Yeah, they're uninsured, they're poor, and, you know, the drug companies tend to go towards those types of illnesses where they have a reasonable return on their investment. Remember the big brouhaha over the AIDS, HIV, antiretrovirals, where the drug companies were selling them for annual dosage was over $5,000, $10,000. And you're dealing with a lot of people who had it who make $200 a year, you know, less than a dollar a day. And at the end of the day, they did the right thing and they gave it to them, you know, basically at cost-free, but it took several years of real embarrassment before they came to that point.
Mm. Well, you know, you always sit there, if you go to the doctor, they say, oh, you have a virus, you just have to let it run its course. So this Ebola is a virus.
Right.
So, I mean, is there any way to inoculate anybody against the virus?
I don't know. Get a medical expert.
Yeah. Let me just share something with you.
They have medications against HIV, which is a virus.
Exactly.
So,
but this is a recent development. Now, my wife had shown me this on a YouTube video. This guy's name is Dr. June, and I believe he's out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. May have found the cure for leukemia. This is what he did. This is a real story. What he did was he took a 7-year-old girl that was just on the brink and was as close to death as you can be. And he took the HIV virus and reprogrammed it so it would not develop into AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
And then programmed it also to attack cells, the leukemia cells, introduced into this girl's body, took her to the brink, high fever, all this other stuff. Man, hours later, she goes to sleep. Hours later, she wakes up completely free of any kind of cell. They're called serial cell killers.
What about the HIV? Is that still in her body?
Yes, but it's been reprogrammed.
Yeah.
So it's not, in other words, parts of that are turned off. So, I mean, this opens up a whole new plethora of, you know, I mean, this is exciting stuff.
Yeah.
It is, and I'm sure that there's research being done now because of the global danger of Ebola, but who knows how long, you know, it will take.
It takes years, usually, to develop things like this. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And meanwhile, you know, people get infected, people keep dying every day, and it's going to keep coming to the States.
I got to ask you. And you may or may not know the answer to this, but, you know, up until now, it was only in these what you would consider to be hot, desert, arid, godforsaken areas, you know, like way back. I mean, one of the biggest ones early on was Zaire. So, like, is this just happening in hot, dry, nasty places?
Well, and it's not even necessarily hot, because remember, that part of Zaire is basically very heavy forest. One of the things that's happening is... And you have it introduced a human population because, again, that part of West Africa, people love bushmeat. And the agent allegedly for this, for this outbreak were fruit bats. If you travel around West Africa, you go to the markets, and they sell all types of bushmeat. And it's not only West Africa, because the West Africans, when they go to Europe or they come to the States, the bushmeat comes after them. I mean, I guarantee you, you can go to parts of New York and buy bushmeat.
I bet.
Because where there is a demand, there's always going to be a supply. So that, you know, it doesn't come labeled bushmeat when it gets into JFK Airport, but, you know, you can be assured that you can find fruit bat somewhere in New York.
Mm. Yum. Go vegetarian.
Bushmeat?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a universal term. It's called bushmeat.
That's a mighty broad category. I mean, what types of varmints are in bushmeat? Fruit bats?
Well, there are fruit bats. There's monkeys. There's a agouti, which is a huge, big field rat. Different parts of West Africa, there's different delicacies.
And people are eating this trash.
Well, it's...
In America.
People are eating it all over the world because it's considered a delicacy. You know, some people might roll their eyes if you tell them you like a big juicy steak.
Yeah, you know, or escargot.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, you know, you eat your snails and they eat their fruit bat. In the Seychelles, you can buy bat curry.
These are what little boys are made of.
Fruits and vegetables, boys and girls.
That's right.
Maybe it's time to be a vegetarian.
Yeah.
All right. Ambassador Nash, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Always appreciate the perspective. Hey, coming up, Randy Nagebauer after bottom of the hour at 7:37. You want to find out?
What do you mean you don't eat no meat?
What's up with that?